Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarane. So welcome everybody here. And we have 10 devotees listening online on the internet. We have Mahatma Devi Dasi from Alachua. And then we also have in Los Angeles, we have Gopal and Jagadambika from Mayapur, India, Yashomati, from Memphis, Tennessee, Padyavali, from New Jersey, Robert and Ute Wagon, from San Francisco, Lady Hana Devi Dasi, and somewhere, I think in Texas, we have Bhaktin Carol. And I think my wife is also listening. So today, in honor of Arjun's birthday, so let's begin by blessing Arjun. Let's all raise our hands and let's bless Arjun. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. So Arjun, you're now 12 years old. So Arjuna selected today's topic, which is a very interesting topic on the subject of God consciousness, because that's what we're all about, God consciousness. So the subject matter is whether or not God is impartial. Is God playing favorites or is God impartial? Is he neutral? So we're going to discuss that topic from hearing from two great devotees. We're going to hear from Shukadeva Goswami and also from Narada Muni. Both of them are going to give their analysis on this topic. But first, we're going to hear from Krishna himself, because Krishna himself, in his book, what's Krishna's book called? Bhagavad Gita. Is that Radhika I see back there? My old friend, Haribo. So Krishna himself deals with this subject matter. So let's hear what Krishna says first in Bhagavad Gita. Please repeat. Samohang Saravabhuteshu Na me dveshyo stina priyaha. Pretty good. Ye bhajanti tumang bhaktya. Mayi te teshu chapyaham. Please repeat. I envy no one, nor am I partial to anyone. I am equal to all, but whoever renders service unto me in devotion is a friend, is in me, and I am also a friend to him. So here is what Krishna himself says. He doesn't envy anyone. He's not partial to anyone. He's equal to everyone. That means Krishna is equal to the demons, to the devotees, to the human beings, to the every living being. He's equal. Why? Because everything is Krishna's child. Krishna says this in the Bhagavad Gita, in the chapter 15. Mamai vangso jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatana. Krishna claims that every living being is his angsha. Angsha means part and parcel. Arjuna, you are the angsha of Kamlesh and Meena. Are you equal to them? No, you're an angsha. So we all come from God, but we cannot claim to be equal That's Mayavad philosophy. If Arjuna says, I am equal to my father, we will all, come on, Arjuna. You're not equal to your father, right? You may think you are, but you're not. So, we are all God's children. I have written one song. You are one of God's beautiful children. So why are we fighting? That's the question in my song I sing. If we're all God's children, why are we fighting? In a family, there should be peace and harmony, yes? We don't like to see brother and sister and brother fighting, right? We, in a family, we want to see everyone getting along. So, for a devotee of Krishna, he understands that everyone, human, plant, aquatic, insect, animal, bird, all children of God, according to what Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita. So we should all get along with everyone. So now, let us see how Shukadeva Goswami, as I explained, we're going to hear from two devotees on this topic. We just heard from Krishna. He says, I'm equal, I'm not partial, but he did say, if you are his devotee, then he has some extra special affection. That's natural. You can't blame Krishna for that. Same thing. You may have many friends. You may have many acquaintances. And you're going to be nice to everyone. But if somebody that you know goes out of their way to do something for you, aren't you going to appreciate that person more? For instance, say you get stuck with your car on the freeway. So many cars are rushing by. But if somebody comes, stops, and helps you, aren't you going to be very grateful to that person? So Krishna is saying, I'm equal to everyone, but if somebody renders some loving service to me, that person is going to get more attention from me. That's not partiality. That's just nature. So let's see what Shukadeva Goswami. Here, this subject matter is the opening chapter of Canto 7. There are 12 cantos in Srimad Bhagavatam. The seventh canto, the entire seventh canto, is a conversation between Narada and Yudhishthir. Everybody knows who is Yudhishthir, yes? So, the scene of where this seventh canto takes place is the Rajasuya sacrifice of Yudhishthir. In the Rajasuya sacrifice, Yudhishthir wanted to prove something. Who can tell me what Yudhishthir wanted to prove by doing the Rajasuya sacrifice? Who can answer that question? Yes? Excellent. Somebody has studied Krishna book. Yudhishthir's intention, he told Krishna, when he invited Krishna, he specifically said to Krishna, I want to do this Rajasuya sacrifice to show everyone that you are God. And in that Rajasuya sacrifice, all the great kings and demigods and great Brahmins from all over the universe came. And Krishna was given what is called Agra Puja. Agra Puja means, in a particular sacrifice, there is the first person to be acknowledged and honored. So Yudhishthir's brother, Sahadev, he stood up and he said to everyone, in my opinion, even though there may be great demigods, there may be great rishis, there may be great sages here, but in my opinion, Sahadev said, The first person to be worshipped is Krishna. And everybody agreed except one fool. His name was Shishupal. Shishupal hated Krishna from the moment Shishupal took birth. He was constantly belittling, criticizing, and blaspheming Krishna from birth. And he had done this 99 different occasions. So when Sahadev stood up and said that Krishna should be the first one worshipped, Shishupal went crazy. He stood up and for the 100th time, he criticized and blasphemed Krishna. And everybody in the room got very mad at Shishupal. And some of the kings were so mad, they were starting to draw their swords. And Krishna could see, there's going to be a bloodbath here. So Krishna didn't want the Rajasuya sacrifice to turn into a big brawl. So Krishna has in his hip pocket a special weapon. What is it? Sudarshan. Very good. You get a point. So Krishna took his Sudarshan chakra and it cut off the head of Shishupal. But then everyone saw the soul, the Atma of Shishupal, like a meteor, flew out of his body and entered Krishna's body. And everybody went, whoa, what was that? Yudhishthir was sitting right next to Narada Muni and he said, wait a second, what did just happen? What was this? Can you explain? And then Narada Muni begins to tell how Shishupal had taken three births. He was originally in the spiritual world as one of the gatekeepers, the seventh gatekeeper. And he took his first birth as the demon Hiranyakashipu. And he was killed by the cell phone. He was killed by Lord Nrisimhadev. Everyone say Nrisimha Bhagavan. So then he took another birth. And he took a birth as Ravan. Who killed Ravan? Lord Ramachandra. Every say Ramachandra Bhagavan. Now in this third birth, he took birth as Shishupal. And he was somewhat related to Krishna in family ties. There was some relationship. So in this third birth, he entered Krishna's body and then from there resumed his position as the seventh door gatekeeper in Vaikuntha, because that was the curse. He had to take three births as a demon. So in the beginning of this seventh canto, as I said, Narada is explaining to Yudhishthir this, and then Yudhishthir asks him more questions. So the whole 15 chapters of the seventh canto is a discussion between Yudhishthir and Narada. But in the beginning, the chapter opens with Maharaj Parikshit. Who is Maharaj Parikshit hearing Bhagavatam from? Shukadeva Goswami. In the previous canto, and he had just heard how Lord Vishnu took the side of Indra and the demigods to kill the demon Vritrasura. Vritrasura, even though he was a demon and he was killed by Indra, he went back to Godhead. Because actually, he was a great devotee, Chitraketu. And he was cursed by Mother Parvati. But even though he played the part of a demon, and even though he was killed by Indra, and Lord Vishnu helped, Vitrasura went back to Godhead. So, when this chapter, this canto opened, Parikshit's question to Shukadev was, "It appears to me, Shukadev, that Lord Vishnu takes the side of the demigods. Then how can he be neutral? How can he be partial? Because he had seen in so many instances, Lord Vishnu always takes the part of the demigods." So now, Shukadeva Goswami will answer this question. Are you ready? If you're ready, say, Hari Bol. Shukadeva Goswami says, "The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu, is always transcendental to material qualities, and therefore he is called Nirguna." So this is important. Nirguna doesn't mean that Lord Vishnu has no qualities. It means he has no material qualities. But does Krishna or Vishnu have spiritual qualities? How many? Unlimited. Yes, 64. But actually, he has unlimited. He has unlimited because Ananta Sesh has been enumerating Krishna's qualities since the dawn of creation and still has not repeated himself. And he's not run out of things to glorify. So yes, Krishna has 64 specific, but actually he has unlimited. So nirguna doesn't mean he has no qualities. He has no material qualities. There's a difference between spiritual qualities and material qualities. Shukadev continues, "He is unborn. He does not have a material body, but does Vishnu have no body? He has what? Spiritual body." Yes. Arjuna, turn it down a half a notch. Okay? Please, Prabhu, half a notch. He has a spiritual body. It's a body, but it's spiritual. We have a body that's material. How do you know? You know every day when you look in the mirror. Another gray hair, another wrinkle, another loose tooth, and every day there's another ache or pain. Krishna's body is always blissful. Krishna's body is always jubilant, always ecstatic. What's the proof? How old was Krishna on the battlefield of Kurukshetra? 125. How did he look? Like 16. Huh? Yes, Navayoga, eternally youthful. I don't think anybody here at 125 is going to look like this young man. Are you 16? How old are you? 13. Pretty good for 13. So Krishna's body is transcendental. He does not have a material body to be subjected to attachment and hatred. Although the Lord is always above material existence through his spiritual potency, he appeared and acted like an ordinary human being. And that was the bewildering feature of Krishna's Leela. Because when Krishna appeared, he appeared what? Like a baby, right? He changed himself to look like a baby, and then it looked like he was growing from babyhood to youth. But that was a stage performance. That was a drama. That was just for a show, all right? Still, it was a spiritual body. Accepting duties and obligations apparently like a conditioned soul. My dear King Parikshit, the material qualities, sattvagun, rajogun, tamogun, all belong to the material world. And they do not even touch the Supreme Personality of Godhead. These gunas cannot act by increasing or decreasing simultaneously. In the spiritual world, there is no tamogun, rajogun, sattvogun, because in the spiritual world, it's absolute. What is the mode of nature in the spiritual world? Bliss. And that bliss is ever increasing. We don't have that here, do we? Anybody here experiencing ever-increasing bliss at every moment? Sorry. But when you go to the spiritual world, yes. Now listen carefully. Here Shukadeva Goswami is going to answer Parikshit's question. When the quality of goodness is prominent, he's talking about the material world, the sages and demigods flourish. With the help of that quality with which they are infused and surcharged by the Supreme Lord. Similarly, when the mode of passion is prominent, the demons flourish. And when ignorance is prominent, the yakshas and rakshasas flourish. So this is very interesting what Shukadeva is saying. Because this material world, everything is governed by these three modes of nature. If you want to know more about it, you would study Bhagavad Gita, chapter 14, chapter 16, 17, and 18. Those chapters can teach you much about the modes of nature. And it's your choice. For instance, even in this house, there are different doors. This door, the garage door, and there's a back door, isn't there? Huh? Two back doors. So we have the front door, the mode of goodness. We have the garage door, mode of passion. And we have the back door, mode of ignorance. We choose our own destiny. We have nobody to blame for our lot in life because Krishna does not force you. Although some people say, oh, the devil made me do it. No, he didn't. You made your own choice. For instance, instead of coming here tonight, you could have gone elsewhere. You could have gone to ZTV and turned on Bollywood. What mode of nature would that have been? Passion. Or you could have said, oh, Hare Krishna program? Nah. I will go to liquor store and get drunk. What mode of nature is that? Tamogun, yes. Whose choice was it? It was the person's choice. Krishna had nothing to do with it. Krishna's not twisting your arm. We make our own choices. But after, let's say you didn't come here, you went to the liquor shop and you bought liquor and got drunk. What would happen tomorrow morning? Oh, my head. I used to know many people before becoming a devotee. I knew many tamogun people in New York City. Many. I knew them on a personal basis. And they would do intoxication, and then the next morning they would whine and complain and moan. Whose fault was it? Was it my fault? I didn't tell them to do that. They made their choice. Mode of passion. Tonight's Saturday night. The dance halls, the bars are full. Men are looking for women. Mode of passion. Right? Mode of passion. They want loud music. Dancing. Right? Half-naked dancing nowadays. And then they do so many sinful activities. Then tomorrow morning, they may wake up And then they go to the doctor, and the doctor said, oh, you have big disease.
Oh.
They chose the mode of passion. Look what they got. Then there's you. Mode of goodness. You decided to come here because primarily you are all in the mode of goodness, because nobody in passion and tamagun is going to come here. Somebody who is in tamagun and rajagun can't sit for 1 minute. They'll get so fidgety, oh, I don't want to be, they'll run. Oh, a mode of goodness program. Ah! They can't stand it. But you're in the mode of goodness. You can sit here for a few hours, am I right? Provided I'm entertaining. But because you're in the mode of goodness, you, and not only are you in the mode of goodness, you said you had a second back door. So that's the fourth door. Ah, very good. So there's another door. The door of transcendence. And that's where we're headed for. The door that takes you back home, back to Krishna. Who wants to go and be with Krishna? Who wants to come back and take birth again in Orange County? Or Hawaii? Are there some people? I've told you stories. Who wants to come back and play Xbox 360? No, because you are devotees, your ultimate objective is to go back home, back to Godhead. That's why you came here. So Shukadeva was saying, the demons, because they're in that, they are going to be flourishing in the mode of passion. And the Rakshasas, Yakshas, they're in the mode of ignorance. And the demigods primarily are in the mode of goodness. All right, let's continue. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, where is Krishna in the body? Where is Krishna? In the heart. So Shukadeva says, Krishna is present in everyone's heart, fostering the reactions of Sattvagun, Rajagun, Tamagun. In other words, after we make our choice, then Krishna says, oh, you chose this? Here's your reaction. That's different. The choice you made or I made. But after you make your choice, just like somebody who is in the mode of passion or ignorance chose that because they thought, that's how I will enjoy. And there is some enjoyment. But then there's the reaction. That reaction, that's Krishna. That's why I've said many times, Krishna sets up the matrix. But we choose our own destiny. So don't blame God. Blame ourselves. That's where you begin to make progress. The all-pervading personality of Godhead exists within the heart of every living being. And an expert thinker can perceive how he is present there to a large or small extent, just as one can understand the supply of fire in wood, the water in a water pot, or sky within a pot. One can understand whether a living entity is a demon or demigod by understanding that living entity's devotional performances. A thoughtful man can understand how much a person is favored by the Supreme Lord by seeing his or her actions. When the Supreme Personality of Godhead creates different types of bodies, offering a particular body to each living entity according to his or her character and fruitive actions, the Lord revives all the qualities of material nature, Sattvaguna, Rajaguna, and Tamaguna. And then, as the Supersoul, he enters each body and influences the qualities of creation maintenance, and annihilation, using Sattvagun for maintenance, Rajogun for creation, and Tamogun for annihilation. O great king, O great king, the supreme personality of Godhead, the controller of the material and spiritual energies, who is certainly the creator of the entire cosmos, creates the time factor to allow the material energy and the living entity to act within the limits of time. But the Supreme Personality, Godhead, is never under the time factor nor under material energy. Those of you who have read Bhagavad Gita, in chapter 11, when Arjuna sees the universal form, he asks Krishna, "Who are you? What is your mission?" And the universal form says, "I am time. And my business, destroy." Every one of us, the clock is ticking for us. Every one of us. From the moment you took your birth, the clock was ticking. You have only so many breaths according to your past karma. And when you have used up all your breaths, bada bing, bada boom, next birth. Every one of us has a different kind of body made up of combinations and permutations of the modes. None of us are purely in goodness. Primarily, you're in the mode of goodness, primarily. But you know as well as me, sometimes we're influenced by passion. Don't you sometimes get uncontrollably angry? And don't you sometimes become very, very silly? And sometimes very, very ignorant? Maybe not. I know myself. Some days I wake up, I'm raging like a bull. And some days it's like, huh? Huh? So we're all under the influence of the modes of nature to different and varying degrees, depending on the moment-to-moment choices we make. So we have to be very careful. Every choice we make, we're creating the next chapter in our book of life. We create it. Krishna has nothing to do with it, but like a sporting event, there is time. And when the time is up, game over, somebody wins, somebody loses. In the game of life, there's no overtime. Your time is set, and once it's over, then you're judged. Then there's a nice score. In any game that's played, there's a scorecard. There's a scorecard for every one of us with our name written on it. And you cannot bribe the official. And that scorecard, And by looking at the scorecard, Yamaraj determines, your next birth shall be like this. And this goes on and on and on. When you want to break out of this, then you surrender to Krishna, which is the conclusion of what book? Bhagavad Gita. Everyone repeat, Sarvadharman Parityajya Mam Ekam Sharanam Vraja Ahang Tvang Sarva Papebhyo Mokshayami Ma Suchaha. So we have 17 devotees from around the world listening. Jai, we pick up some numbers. Very good. Yes, this is the ratings. the Nielsen ratings on the transcendental television. Now let's continue. Shukadeva Goswami says, O King, the time factor enhances the sattva gun. Please remember that. If you stay in the mode of goodness, as you get older, you will reap your benefits. But if you are in Rajogun or Tamogun, the time factor diminishes you. So if you keep yourself in the mode of goodness, time will become your friend, not your enemy. For instance, earlier today, I was at another Indian home, and there was a lady, young lady from China, a friend of the family. And she's a Buddhist. So I was asking her different things. And I always like to ask the question. So I asked her, how old do I look? And I said, be honest. She said, oh, you look like you're 40. So I said, actually, in May, I'll be 61. And she went, oh, how could that be? You have such rosy cheek and no wrinkles. I said, yes. This is the reason. If you live in the mode of goodness, the time factor enhances. How many of you know this devotee, Amala Bhakta? You've seen, he's in his 70s. Or that devotee, the black devotee, Krishna Bhavana. He's 70 years old, but when he does kirtan, he's jumping up and down like a 20-year-old man. Because when you live in the mode of goodness, the time factor enhances. Prabhupada. When Prabhupada came to America, he had his 70th birthday on the boat. And when devotees would say, when Prabhupada would go on the walk, they would have a hard time keeping up with him. And anyone who saw Prabhupada, he didn't look like a 70-year-old man. Because he had lived his life in the mode of goodness. And the time factor, as Shukadeva Goswami, enhances the mode of goodness. So always try to live in the mode of goodness. Like I said, Bhagavad Gita will teach you how to eat in the mode of goodness. How to sleep, how to work, how to endeavor, how to play in the mode of goodness. And I'm sorry, Xbox is not playing in the mode of goodness. Sorry, that's the mode of passion. I'm not blaming anyone, I'm just saying. So keep yourself in the mode of goodness. And how will you know? Read Bhagavad Gita. Everybody chant. Okay, yes. Good for you, you get a ding. Well, here's, huh? Whoever it was, you get a ding. All right. So let's finish up what Shukadeva says. So Shukadeva says, the Supreme Lord induces the time factor to act in different ways, but he is never partial. Rather, his activities are glorious. Therefore, he is called Urushrava. Everyone say. That means that God does things that are glorious. Urushrava. Again? So again, the time factor, it depends on which mode of nature you choose. Door number 1, 2, 3, or door number 4, Krishna consciousness. How many are going to stick with door number 4, Krishna consciousness, for the rest of their lives? Very good. Don't blame the messenger. You create your own destiny. Now let's see what Narada Muni says in answer to this question. It's going to be very similar, but Narada has his twist on it. Are you ready to hear from Narada Muni? If you're ready to hear from Narada, then we should glorify Narada. Very quickly. Drum. Drum, please. Narada Muni Vajaya Veena Radhika Ramana Name Bala. Narada Muni Vajaya Veena Radhika Ramana Name. Nama amani udita hai bhagata gita same. Nama amani udita hai bhagata gita same. Narada muni bhajaya vina rajika ramana name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. One more time, nice and loud. Jai. So just as Maharaj Parikshit asked the question about whether the Supreme Lord is equal, Yudhishthir asked Narada the same question. That's why there are two versions. So let's see what Narada says. O king, this is Yudhishthir, blasphemy and praise, chastisement and respect are experienced because of ignorance. The body of the conditioned soul is planned by the Lord for suffering in the material world through the agency of the external energy. But here's the kicker. When you're in the modes of passion and ignorance, even though you're suffering, you think you're enjoying. That's called Maya. Prabhupada gave a very good example. And I saw it when I went to India for the first time. Prabhupada would always say, the male jackass approaches the female jackass for pleasure from behind. What does the female jackass do? Kick him in the face. And that male jackass is thinking, oh, this is great. And he keeps coming back for more, and she kicks him again. I saw it when I went to India. I said, wow, Prabhupada was right. Prabhupada didn't make it up. I saw, and boy, did she give that jackass a kick and right in the face. Boom! Really, not a love tap. She kicked him. And he's thinking, oh, this is enjoyment. So this is Maya. Maya means you think you're enjoying, but actually you're suffering. Same way, the person who is a drug addict or a drunkard, while intoxicated, he's thinking, I'm king of the world. But actually, he's a miserable conditioned soul. So that's Maya. Maya lets you think that you're God, that you're the enjoyer. But actually, you're just a miserable, insignificant, loser conditioned soul. You want to be a winner? Surrender to Krishna. That would make a great song. You want to be a winner, surrender to Krishna. That would be a great rap song. So, let's continue. My dear King, the conditioned soul, being in the bodily conception of life, consider his or her body to be the self, and considers everything in relationship with the body to be one's own. Because of this wrong conception of life, one is subjected to dualities like praise and chastisement. Because of the bodily conception of life, the conditioned soul thinks that when the body is annihilated, the living being is annihilated. Lord Vishnu is the supreme controller, the supersoul of all living entities. Because he has no material body, he has no false conception of I and mine. It is therefore incorrect to think he feels pleasure or pain when blasphemed or offered prayers. This is impossible for him. Thus, he has no enemy and no friend. Now here, Narada. Listen to this. This is very important. Narada says, when Krishna chastises the demons, it is for their good. And when he accepts the prayers of the devotees, it is for their good. But he is neither affected by praise nor blasphemy. Did you all get that? For instance, some people accuse Krishna, oh, he's lusty. He danced with the gopis. Krishna didn't dance with the gopis because he had lusty desire. The gopis wanted Krishna as their husband. So Krishna said, okay, I'll satisfy the gopis' desire. And he danced with them. Whatever Krishna does, it's not for himself. Krishna does everything to satisfy his devotees. And as Narada pointed out, when he's killing a demon, the demon gets benefited. What happened to Putana? Was she sent to hell? What happened? She went to Godhead. Pretty good. He had to kill her, right? Because she had killed so many babies. Krishna had to stop her because she was an evildoer, George Bush would say. She was an evildoer. So you all should know from Bhagavad Gita, Paritranaya sadunam vinashaya chaduskritam. Somebody's got to take care of the rascals and demons. Would you like it if the whole world is overrun by gangbangers and terrorists? Do you want that? No. You want something just like what's happening in Egypt. The people got fed up with that dictator rascal. And they demanded, get out. Get out. And finally he caved in. Am I right? Finally he caved in. But now he's trying to get his money. But they're not letting him have his money. They want to see. We'll have to see how this plays out. So, you always need somebody to take care of the evildoers, the bad people. Otherwise, you won't have a peaceful society. You'll have chaos. So, when Krishna comes, he does two things. Takes care of the bad guys, and gives pleasure to the good guys. Who wants to be a bad guy? Good. You have nothing to fear. Krishna won't hurt you. But if anybody raised their hand, I want to be a bad guy. All right, Krishna will take care of you. So that's Krishna. So when Krishna, just like boys and girls, listen carefully, all you young boys and girls, sometimes your mother and father may have to get angry with you because you need it. They're not doing it because they're meanies. They're not doing it because they're envious of you. They're doing it because they love you. I know you're thinking, what's this guy talking about? But please, trust me. When your parents get angry with you, they're getting angry with you because they care about you. They love you. We call it tough love. It's for your own good. Otherwise, you may grow up to be, and we may see. If your parents don't do that, one day we'll see on the TV, Mr. Such and Such, wanted, dead or alive. Why? Because there was nobody there to show him the right way. So please, what do I tell you kids after every program? Obey what? Your mother and father. I've been saying this, and I will continue to say it. Very important. Obey your parents. Especially your parents, because they're devotee parents. If your parents were Putana and Kamsa, that would be a different story. But your parents are devotee parents. Just like, in another way, when I advise, in fact, I did it today, I always advise husband and wife. I advise the husband, please repeat the mantra. Happy wife means happy life. And I then explain to them, because you have devotee wife. If your wife was Shurpanaka, then I would not say. But because you have devotee wife, then in your own best interest, keep her happy. I practice what I preach. This week, my wife came home from work and she said, we have to have a meeting. And whenever she says that, I go, oh no, it's lecture time. And I have to sit there, Varuni Uvacha. And I have to listen very carefully. And what she told me this week, it really, really made me angry. And I was fried, and I was very upset, but I just said, okay. I said to her, I disagree with everything you say. There's not one thing you said I agree with, but I will do as you say. I will do Karishyetad Vachanam Varuni. Because my policy is, I will think. She said so many things. Initially, as I said, it made me angry. I was thinking, who does she think she's talking to? I'm the great Nirantara. I've done hundreds of Namahat programs. I'm on the internet. Doesn't she know who she's talking to? She should be bowing down, bathing my feet, making me samosas. And here she is telling me what to do and what not to do. So I just said, okay. So as the days went on, I considered what she said. And I'd have to say by today, she's 50% correct. Give me time. But I practice what I preach. Happy wife means happy. So I said, yes, I will comply with all your GBC regulations. Because she's the GBC of my house. And the reason why is because she's devotee. And I know that whatever she says, she's saying it because she really cares about me. That I know. She has proven it time and time again. So men and boys, when you get married, number one, make sure she's devotee girl. Not because she's pretty. She should be nice devotee girl. Don't go after Maya or Mohini. Go after nice devotee girl. And whatever she says, say yes. You'll be happy. And even if you don't want to say yes, say yes, and then, yes, dear, very good. Say yes, and then figure some way around it. That's another class. Let's finish up with Narada saying, all in favor say Hari Bol. Therefore, by enmity or by service, by fear, by affection, or lusty desire, if a conditioned soul somehow or other concentrates his or her mind on the Lord, the result is the same. For the Lord, because of his blissful position, is never affected by enmity or friendship. So many times when Prabhupada was preaching, when he was on the earth, sometimes there would be an article in a newspaper, and sometimes they would criticize Prabhupada, the devotees in the movement. And Prabhupada's secretaries would read the article back to Prabhupada. And sometimes they would say nice things, sometimes they would say bad things. But Prabhupada would never get upset. He would say, how many times did they say Krishna in the article? Prabhupada would say, oh, they said so many times Krishna, it was a good article. Because they're getting benefit by saying the name Krishna. Even if somebody gets mad and says, oh, those Hare Krishnas, oh, they said it, they're going to become benefited. Because Krishna's name is absolute. So as devotees, we should always be happy and blissful just to be engaged in Krishna's service. That is our only objection, is to be engaged. Yes, our only object is to be engaged in Krishna's service. Happiness and distress, victory or defeat is not within our hands. We are simply meant to try our best to serve Krishna. That's all. Don't be attached. In your lives, in all of your lives, you're going to be tested. There's going to be things where you're going to be between a rock and a hard place. And your mind is going to be bewildered. And you won't know what to do. My favorite story. One time somebody said to me, in very serious, somebody said, Prabhu, I'm a devotee and I go to temple and I do my prayers, but I'm struggling so hard. My neighbor, he's a rascal, he cheats, he steals, and he's so happy. Maybe I should be like him. That's the crazy mind. So I told this person, you think that the way to become happy is to become like Kamsa. So the person was asking me, why does Krishna let my next door neighbor, who is a rascal, he has big house, he has lots of money. I am a simple devotee and I can barely pay the rent. Maybe I should be like him. I said, no, don't do that. Don't worry. He'll get it eventually. The day will come when Krishna will smash him. But our problem is we want Krishna to do it now. Hey Krishna, come on, my next door neighbor's a rascal. Can you please smash him now? No. Krishna has his own plan. Kamsa was not killed right away, was he? 11 years. Krishna was on the planet 11 years before Kamsa was taken care of. But did Kamsa finally get it in the end? Hiranyakashipu went on for a long time before Nrisimhadev killed him. So it's not up to us to dictate to Krishna, Krishna, would you please kill all the infidels now, please? I'm getting a little tired. Krishna has his way of doing things. Our job is simply to remain good devotees. Do you understand what I'm saying? You are going to be tested. Each and every one of you are going to be tested. If you pass Krishna's test, then you will be blessed in so many ways you have no idea. So how will you pass Krishna's test? That is the question. You will pass Krishna's test. How many of you are regularly, daily chanting Hare Krishna mantra? If you're not, start now. How many of you are reading Bhagavad Gita every day? If you're not, start now. You do these two things, chant and read Bhagavad Gita, you will pass all of Krishna's examinations. And mark my words, your examination is coming very soon. And everyone's examination is different, because Krishna knows exactly how to push your buttons. Krishna is very expert, because he's in your heart. He knows, oh, Nirantara, I know this guy. I've been with him for a few million births. I know how this guy thinks. Here's your next test. Bam! Krishna, Krishna! Ah, you passed the test. What was my last test? The last Ekadasi. The last Ekadasi, I thought I was having a heart attack. My blood pressure was like through the roof. And I had taken my medication, but I did the test, and it was like, yeah! I was really scared. So I was praying like anything, Krishna, please protect me. Krishna, please save me. And that day, that night, I was supposed to do a program.